This is pretty much the budget. You know, this is the good, the bad, and the ugly, as I like to describe. And, you know, it was a frustrating budget process this year, I think, for a lot of people. We just couldn't, it seemed as though we just couldn't close down certain areas.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, what D. Billy Jones thinks of the budget and what comes next. Well, as New York State lawmakers return to the Capitol in Albany to finish the session, expected to run through June 6th, the $237 billion budget is finally done. It was approved about 3 weeks late. But several high-profile issues remain unresolved. Democratic Assemblyman D. Billy Jones of the 115th District sat down in our Plattsburgh Bureau with North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley.
There was some policy put in there for housing. If the question is, are we going to amend what we've amended already? Not necessarily. I think there'll be a few things that are tweaked, but usually, you know, when we pass a budget, that's what it's, you know, what it's going to be. There are certain sectors when you're talking about, you know, economic development money or other things that, you know, we'll keep advocating to dole out to certain areas. But this is pretty much the budget. You know, this is the good, the bad, and the ugly, as I like to describe. And, you know, it was a frustrating budget process this year, I think, for a lot of people. We just couldn't, it seemed as though we just couldn't close down certain areas. And as you mentioned, you know, previously, housing was a big sticking point, you know, and one of the major causes why we had a, you know, an 18-20 day delay in the budget. And that's why I'm a big believer in getting policy out of a budget. And it should be about the dollars and cents. And I've always been, you know, that way.
Now that the budget has been passed, moving forward, what will be your priorities for the rest of the session?
Well, you know, I have a lot of legislation that I've been working on through the years. You know, you have this UTV legislation to raise the weight, you know, for registrations. We're working with a lot of groups, a lot of people to up that. But, you know, just, you know, not major statewide implications on a lot of this legislation, but a lot of local legislation that will affect people locally. And as I mentioned, you know, our leaders really haven't been very vocal on what our priorities will be moving forward. I don't say that in a bad way. We just, you know, setting an agenda moving forward. I just think there's been so much attention placed on the budget. So, you know, I don't see anything major as far as statewide policy coming down, but there's a lot of work left to do for sure.
Well, Billy Jones, you had been disappointed that there wasn't a lot of funding for home health aides. That could be a statewide initiative. Are you planning on continuing your work there?
Absolutely. As you know, Pat, you've interviewed me many times on this. I will say, well, let's get into it. I was disappointed that we didn't get more funding for nursing homes because they're really struggling to keep staff. I would have liked to seen that, you know, Medicaid reimbursement for our nursing homes up there. Also, you know, for our DSP workers, our direct support professionals that deal with, you know, our you know, developmentally disabled. They were really pushing for a bigger increase so that they could pay their staff. What it is all these agencies are struggling with staff, retaining staff, paying staff. And, you know, there's a lot of competition out there to keep these people, these hardworking people working for, you know, nursing homes and or in a lot of our group homes around here. So we need to, I was disappointed that we couldn't do a better job on that. Getting to the home health care, and you've heard, I sound like a broken record on this, but I was disappointed that we didn't get more money for, you know, our wait list or non-Medicaid people that depend on home health care for their loved ones to keep them aging in place, to keep our neighbors in place. I've said it once, I'll say it again. It, you know, if you want to look at it on a fiscal note, it costs a lot less money to keep people in their own homes than it does in hospitals and or nursing homes. And that's not to diminish the good work that our hospitals or our nursing homes do, but we need to make an investment on the front end of this and not always be looking at the back end.
One policy area that I think people expected to show up in the budget that didn't was the HEAT Act. Mm-hmm. Last week, Speaker Hastie indicated that the Assembly may address that during the rest of the session. What are you anticipating? Do you think it might pass before the end?
I have no idea. That's, you know, I think the Speaker was speaking for us. I think at the end of the day, there were a lot of issues surrounding that, and it was such a major policy issue that, you know, there just couldn't be an agreement on. I believe there is a sentiment and a promise from all sides that they'll keep moving and working forward on it.
What do you think the odds of getting it passed would be if it is that controversial within the Assembly?
I don't know if, you know, I just think it kind of fell off the table. And I will tell you, Pat, you know, there were a lot of concerns with a lot of this. There were a lot of, you know, people that were certainly pushing on it. But if you nail me down to the chances of something passing or some form of that legislation or any other legislation passing, I'm going to take the fifth on that because I'm done giving predictions as far as budget deadlines and or legislative deadlines.
You've learned how legislatures work.
I have. You know, you've been here and asked me, are we going to have an on-time budget? And I think the last couple I have refrained from giving any answers on that. I guess I've learned my lesson.
Well, I guess I'll plow into the next question that probably can't be asked as well, answered
sure.
as well.
Sure.
Any idea yet what prisons are at risk of closure in the wake of the budget?
Yeah. As I've said before, the governor did put the 90-day amendment into the budget process. And I'll say this again. I've said it several times. The governor, any governor, has always had the ability to close a prison. It's in statute, but it provides, it has to be a year. When they announce it, the prison gets it. You know, the correctional facility gets a year to close, which, you know, when you're dealing with families relocating and the workers there and everyone inside those facilities having to relocate, you know, I believe that's why that was put in. Only in the last, well, I guess we're going to say last several budgets now, going back to the previous administration, maybe one beyond that, they have put into the budget with this 90-day amendment. One, the governor's always had the ability to do this, but it was a year. The statute was a year. They put in there a 90-day amendment for when they decide to close a prison, they have 90 days to close it. So it cuts down the window of, you know, trying to help people relocate and such. So no word on which facilities are closing. No word on when an announcement will be made. I would expect it to be made fairly soon, though.
One good note of late is that Ticonderoga is the latest North Country community that will receive a $10 million downtown revitalization initiative grant. Mm-hmm. That's hard to say fast.
Sure.
How has this program overall been helping the North Country communities that have received it?
Well, I think I've always been in the understanding, and I was in local government. I was in the most local government you can get. I was a village mayor of approximately 1,800, 2,000 people. I like the approach as far as a ground up. you submit a plan, the locals, the true locals, submit a plan, and they can be put in to getting this this money. Like any other program, implementation, sometimes implementation is slow and cumbersome. So I'm all for it. I'm still for the DRIs, you know, Downtown Revitalization Initiatives, and letting the locals decide what is best for, you know, their municipalities, their localities, their initiatives. A lot of them form, you know, and get business owners involved and groups involved to do it. So I like the program. As far as moving forward, you know, I'd like to see more of our, you know, our North Country, you know, villages and towns put in proposals for that, and or I'd like to see them granted more.
Well, we've had quite a few. I mean, Tupper Lake is a small,
absolutely,
yep, village, and yep, they've received.
They have, and their plans are doing well. I think people just get frustrated with how long the process takes, right, from the announcement to the actual implementation of some of these plans, and you know, and in everything, there's going to be people that thought they should have, you know, that their idea, that their proposal, their organization should have received money through this, and you're going to get that no matter what when you're talking in any of these plans in small towns. But I, you know, I'm happy with the people that have put in proposals in the North Country here so far. They look like great proposals, and we just have to get a few more of them implemented.
Assemblyman Jones, this is something that we haven't seen in the North Country yet, but we've seen at large universities across the country, and that's the protests that are moving into encampments at places like Columbia and UCLA, and we've got some Republicans saying that the National Guard should be called in to remove the students from these encampments. Does this situation concern you, even though we haven't seen anything at colleges in the North Country or even in upstate New York in general?
I think it's a concern for anybody, any resident when we're talking that. And you know, hearing stories of, you know, anti-Semitism in some of these campuses. And I will say this. Yes, we are afforded the right in this country and in this state to peacefully protest. That is what our democracy is built on. And, you know, we've seen many times over the years where peaceful protests have, you know, carried out some form of change. But in no way, no circumstance, no way should anybody or any student on a college campus feel intimidated, feel threatened, feel that they're unsafe. And in hearing some of these stories, that's what students are saying. So, you know, we have to do, or the college campuses and or, you know, if they call for law enforcement support or if they don't, we have to make sure that the safety of our students is number one priority, and that, you know, we can't allow this hateful rhetoric to be put on students that are just trying to go to college to get to, you know, an education that, by the way, they or their families have paid a lot of money for. So I am against any form of policy or non-policy, I should say, where students feel unsafe and they feel threatened that their own views and or ethnicity or religion is taken out of them, and that they feel unsafe, I think is, you know, that's what I will say on that.
You represent a district where there's a college in it which is one of the only colleges in the country that has annually commemorated the Kent State shootings.
Mm-hmm.
And with some folks saying that the encampments at some of these colleges should be forcefully removed by the National Guard. I mean, I've been to SUNY Plattsburgh's Kent State memorials just about every year to cover them. And when I hear that, that's what I remember. What do you think of, you know, forcefully, you know, you've mentioned the concerns of the other students on the campus and mm-hmm. their safety. So it's a different type of situation. But what do you think when you hear for calls to, you know, remove these encampments by using the National Guard?
I think we have to be very careful. I will say that. We in no way want another horrible tragedy like that. So I will leave that to people far more intelligent than I am in dealing with security issues and dealing with the way we deal with these encampments. But I think, you know, something has to be done to provide order within the campuses, right? But we should also learn our lessons from history, from the past, for sure. So I'm not, my expertise are not in that area, but certainly we need to move forward and provide a learning environment that every student that goes to these campuses can make sure they have. So I'll leave that to the experts, but certainly, as you mentioned, I think we need to learn from our lessons in the past and not repeat them.
D. Billy Jones, you are running for re-election?
Yes, I am. Yes, my fifth term.
And so far, no opponents yet.
I have not seen anyone on the ballot yet, or that have made themselves eligible for a ballot yet.
How many times have you run unopposed in the past?
Well, I think this is I have been in. This is my fifth. This will be the fifth time running for this office, and I've had two opponents.
So we'll see what happens over the course of the...
Yeah, we'll see.
There's still time for somebody
well,
to...
Well, no, party nominations are closed as far as that. But anybody can start a write-in campaign, or anybody can do a... there are independent petitions out there. I think they close in the next couple of weeks as well. So, you know, I guess we can take it in two ways, Pat. You know, I have to pat my my team on the back here a little bit, and maybe even myself. We've been out there. We have worked. Is everybody happy with me or the way the way I feel about some issues? Absolutely not. And if you can ever get 100% in this job, you ain't doing your job. I can tell you that. But I just think I think we've worked hard. I know we've worked extremely hard on trying to do the best we can by our residents. And, maybe some people have seen that and said, you know, we think he's doing an all right job. So we're going to let him continue to do that. And I will say it's an absolute joy and pleasure to still represent this area. And, for as long as I can keep doing that, and I still have that drive within myself, I will. Or as my friends jokingly say, well, nobody else wants to do that job, obviously. So I don't know. Maybe I like to think it. I like to think that we've worked hard. We've put in the effort. We're constantly. Going out there, going to events. I'm constantly talking to organizations, school districts, local municipalities, governments to try to help them out, constantly doing constituent services, which a lot of people don't see on a day-to-day basis. We are entrenched in constituent services. We try to help people out to the best of our ability, and we always give 100% on that. And maybe it's showing to some people.
Maybe. I mean, you've got a large area to cover.
Absolutely. Yeah. We cover 40 towns now, I believe. 17 villages within them, many school districts. I think I'm up to 19 school districts. We get out and see the people. I think that's the one thing that people do see that we do. I try to hit everything I can. I travel. As I say, I have a lot of windshield time when I'm not in Albany. I'm out in my district, which Albany seems to take a lot of time right now, but out in my district, talking to people, talking to organizations, and I think people respect that. No matter how they feel about you, they can respect that enough to say, "Hey, you know what? You're putting in the effort at least."
Well, I should let you get to your next stop.
We're on the road again, Pat. We're on the road again.
I mean, you came from Malone, which is an hour from here. So
yeah,
you have a perspective. Yeah, it's timing.
It's one of the larger districts. I think I'm the third largest geographic district. And I will say it's a diverse geographical district because I have the Adirondacks. I have, a lot of small towns and villages. I have the city of Plattsburgh. I have, some concerns, some suburban concerns, real rural concerns, the Adirondack concerns. So it certainly keeps me on my toes, but we deal with a lot of different issues, and I still find it, very fascinating. And like I say, we try to help everyone out with their issues. They're always not 100% happy with the outcome. But I will say at the end of the day, we genuinely try for every concern we get in our office. We give it 100%. So,
D. Billy Jones, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks to Pat Bradley for that interview. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.